But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with a hard conversation about white women. Move on to why Hitler's generals would not be a good fit for America. And follow all of that up with what's so different about the January 6th insurrectionists. Let's begin, shall we? As of the recording of this show, we have 9 days to go until America chooses the next president. Along with the entirety of the House of Representatives, 34 seats in the Senate, and a myriad of governors, state legislators, and down the ballot we go. Every name, every position, every initiative on your ballot is important, and it needs your vote. And I say this because Dems have a history of ignoring everything on their ballot except who's going to be next president. And that's a problem now that we have states' rights. Choosing who's going to be your governor, your state legislators, mayors, your school superintendents, even the sheriff. All of these positions are integral to preserving your freedom or the continuation of them being stripped away. Or as MSNBC host Joy Reid so eloquently explained on the Hysteria podcast.
The fact that the architect of the overturning of Roe v. Wade, Donald Trump, is tied with a woman candidate. The fact that Rick Scott in the state of Florida is the odds-on choice to beat a female candidate, Debbie Mercosso Powell, who is an advocate for abortion rights in a state where abortion rights were stripped away, tells me that while women are mad, they're not mad enough, because part of what voting is advocacy for yourself and self-preservation, but it's also punishment. Why aren't you punishing these men? Why aren't you taking their jobs and making them unemployed? Why are you going to allow Rick Scott to get reelected? Why are you allowing Greg Abbott to stay in power? Why will you probably vote for Ted Cruz? Women.
Yeah.
And this is, I have to be honest, white women have to ask themselves this question, right? White women in this country who've only been free since the 1970s, because y'all couldn't open up a bank account a year until after Roe v. Wade, 74. Marital rape was legal till 91. We have to have this frank conversation with the women who make up 30% of the electorate. A third of the vote is white ladies. So white sisters, when are you going to understand that you are the people they want to hurt most? Because up to now, white women voters have not punished the men who hurt them. And so this is their chance to do it. And if they do it, we'll have our first female president.
Now, Joy ain't wrong. And that's why women getting out and voting in this election is so important. But specifically white women, the third of the electorate, who have a unique opportunity to propel America forward in the most glorious Steinem way I can think of. I had more rights at 13 than my 13-year-old daughter has right now. And that's because in the past, white women have not punished the men who do this. Along with their controlling husbands, they voted those men right back into office, along with the pick-me's like the Jewish space laser expert from Georgia and the president of the Colorado chapter of Planned Parenthood, Lauren Boebert. And now that we've had 40 years of this shit, we're actually talking about your state's right to force women to have children, whether it kills them or not. For example, Texas.
Kimberly Manzano and her husband were excited to find out they were expecting after suffering a miscarriage a few months earlier. But when she started to experience familiar pain, they immediately went to the emergency room. Further testing at her OBGYN found that her son had amniotic band syndrome, which prevented him from growing. Organs were outside of his body, and he would not survive. Because her life wasn't at imminent risk, she didn't qualify for an abortion under Texas's narrow exceptions. But the longer she remained pregnant, the higher the probability for complications. Her doctor referred her to a clinic in New Mexico that could help her get the abortion. abortion she needed. The Manzanos were pro-life and are devout Christians. The couple talked with their pastor, who told them, if you believe your doctor to be a godly man, take what the doctor says as clarity from God in your decision. So she did. Manzana says she was naive about the importance of abortion care and reproductive rights, and says this.
I don't believe that anyone should ever have to travel for basic health care, and abortion is a basic female health care.
Just like any empathetic person listening, it breaks my heart to know that Kimberly had to go through this simply because Texas abortion law was written by a bunch of stupid men who clearly don't know anything about the female body, let alone the medical fact that every pregnancy is a risk to the woman's health because any fucking thing can go wrong. From developing eclampsia and having your baby 4 weeks early after several seizures and a few mini strokes, or nearly dying of cellulitis because the doctor gave your lactation nurse permission to remove your C-section staples during one of your visits. And by the way, all of that is a true story. Because every pregnancy is a risk to the mother's life, and apparently for a short time after they give birth as well. So why are women allowing men to make decisions about their bodies? Men like Pumpkin Spice Palpatine, who put the three jesters on the supreme disappointment that allowed Roe to be overturned, and now wants a second chance to become America's most fascist president? Or at least, that's what John Kelly says.
As Donald Trump's former chief of staff, his longest serving chief of staff, General John Kelly is now going on the record 2 weeks before the election to say that Trump meets the definition of a fascist and said nice things about Hitler.
Do you think he's a fascist?
Well, I'm looking at the definition of fascism. It's a far-right, authoritarian, ultra-nationalist political ideology and movement characterized by a dictatorial leader, centralized autocracy, militarism, forcible suppression of opposition, belief in a natural social hierarchy. Certainly, the former president is in the far-right area. He's certainly an authoritarian, admires people who are dictators. He has said that. So he certainly falls into the general definition of fascist, for sure. He commented more than once that, you know, that Hitler did some good things too. And of course, if you know history, again, I think he's lacking in that. But if you know what Hitler was all about, it'd be pretty hard to make an argument that he did anything good.
What would you say when he said to you that Hitler did a lot of good things?
Well, I tell him that. I said, you know, sir, first of all, you should never say that. But if you knew what Hitler was all about from the beginning to the end, everything he did was in support of his racist, fascist life, philosophy, so that nothing he did you could argue was good. It was certainly not done for the right reason, but he would occasionally say that.
What would he say when you would lay that out to him?
That'd be the end of the conversation usually.
Yeah, you know, fascists, they tend to get bored when you're not standing for Hitler the way that they do. Not to mention, they can't take no for an answer, which totally tracks since this election is the copper-colored con man's third attempt to be America's first dictator. Hence why Kamala Harris had to stand in front of a microphone in front of journalists and state the obvious.
We learned that Donald Trump's former chief of staff, John Kelly, a retired four-star general, confirmed that while Donald Trump was president, he said he wanted generals like Adolf Hitler had. He wants a military who will be loyal to him personally, one that will obey his orders even when he tells them to break the law or abandon their oath to the Constitution of the United States. Donald Trump has repeatedly called his fellow Americans the enemy from within. He said that he would use the United States military to go after American citizens. Like judges, like journalists, like nonpartisan election officials. It is deeply troubling and incredibly dangerous that Donald Trump would invoke Adolf Hitler, the man who is responsible for the deaths of 6 million Jews, and hundreds of thousands of Americans. All of this is further evidence for the American people of who Donald Trump really is, from the people who worked with him side by side in the Oval Office and in the Situation Room. And in a second term, people like John Kelly would not be there to be the guardrails against his propensities and his actions. We know what Donald Trump wants. He wants unchecked power. The question will be, what do the American people want?
The question that Americans who can vote will be answering in 9 days. What do we want? Because I don't know about you, but I can't understand why anyone, especially women, are even entertaining the possibility of voting for the Reich Wings Wonder Boy, and for that matter, anyone else at this point. And I'm talking specifically to 40 to 50 year old middle class Gen Xers who are mostly college educated, some actually owning their own businesses, and yet, for some reason, consume way more than the daily recommended dose of Fox Not a News Channel, which, by the way, happens to be none at all. But I digress. According to The Atlantic, the members of Meal Team 6 who showed up at the Capitol on January 6th aren't who you'd expect them to be, and especially not the kind of people you would think would participate in a coup against the U.S. government.
On January 6th, 64% of people arrested for violent political right-wing extremism would have been in a militia or some type of violent group. At the Capitol, only 13% were. Previously, right-wing extremists were about a third unemployed. These were folks with middle-class jobs. They were CEOs of companies. They had businesses. They were doctors. They were lawyers. They were architects. 25% of the people who rioted at the Capitol had a college degree. The age concentration of those who were arrested were in their 40s and 50s. These were middle-aged folks. 30% had criminal histories, but they were like misdemeanor charges for like marijuana possession. They were coming from Los Angeles, from New York City, not upstate New York. They were coming from Chicago, from San Francisco, from the suburbs. They were coming from counties where demographically non-Hispanic whites were losing population numbers. People who are part of the what they call the insurrectionist movement, biggest factor is a belief in the great replacement theory. This is a trend that is stable over time.
Now, before I get into this, I do want to point out that the 40-something years long campaign to defund American public schools is directly responsible for the amount of stupid, smart people who are running around out there. Not to mention the fact that some of you have a maybe D average that is showing at times when you wouldn't want it to. And, you know, you still go on and on about how college educated you are. So there's that. But even with all of that aside, it appears that impotent rage fueled by racism is the glue that binds all Trumplicans together, regardless of the fact that they got their GED 16 years after they dropped out of high school, and conveniently 1 month before they decided to run for a congressional seat in Colorado. When it comes to maggots, their biggest fear is a self-serving prophecy, being replaced by more qualified people. Or, as Fox Not a News Channel and Republicans who guest star on the network have branded, a totally racist issue.
They intentionally opened the border and let drugs, criminals, and terrorists.
What's the motivation for having a wide open border for 4 years and allowing into this country potential terrorists that want to do us harm?
Well, the only thing I can see is it helps them increase the census in states where they get more electoral votes. California would lose unbelievable number of electoral votes because they count the illegal immigrants in their census population.
The Democrats want to invite caravan after caravan of illegal aliens into our country.
an unrelenting stream of immigration. But why? Well, to change the racial mix of the country. That's the reason, to reduce the political power of people whose ancestors lived here and dramatically increase the proportion of Americans newly arrived from the third world. This policy is called the Great Replacement, the replacement of legacy Americans with more obedient people from faraway countries.
I think the Democrats had something to do with it.
The Democratic Party is trying to replace the current electorate with new people, more obedient voters from the third world.
And that, my friends, is what motivated white, middle-class suburbanites to travel to D.C. on January 6th and participate in a coup to keep Fat Nixon in the White House. The idea that their whiteness is no longer a factor in their success because the Democrats have been poisoning the blood of our country with pigment. Right now, crackers, crackers make up nearly 60% of the population, but within the next 25 years or so, that percentage is going to drop to about 50. That means these pasty descendants of colonizers need to do something now while they still have time. So they've started a forced birth movement in America by repurposing the pro-life crowd and made immigration about preserving the whiteness of America. And now, according to Fox's Barely Infotainment host, Brian Kilmeade, rebooting Hitler's SS is a good and misunderstood concept.
Madison Kelly didn't like the president, and they didn't think he deserved the job, or they didn't think he was worthy of the job, and they went out of his way to make sure a lot of the things they asked him to do that they didn't like never got done. And then he obviously has frustration, and I could absolutely see him going out, you know what? It would be great to have German generals that actually do what we asked them to do, knowing that's a fully being cognizant of the third rail of German generals were Nazis and whatever. But he was frustrated with the slowdown of
just a slowdown. It was insubordination.
Whoa there with that insubordination crap. First off, refusing to do something a wannabe Hitler asks you to do, regardless of where he sits in the Oval Office, is not insubordination. It's adhering to your oath to the U.S. Constitution, something generals like John Kelly obviously took seriously. Secondly, the not-so-demure way Botox Kilmeade tried to suggest von Krapps and Pampers didn't know about the Third Reich was giving last kid picked for dodgeball. So he wants everyone to think this incel with a microphone does not know that Orange Felonius' grandfather was a barely English-speaking migrant from Germany who got kicked out of the fatherland because he wouldn't enlist in the First World War. Or that Donny Kahn's father was arrested with a bunch of his Nazi-loving friends in 1927 after a Klan rally turned into a riot in New York. But hey, at least Pick Me Kill Me tried to cover up for his dear leader. So I guess that matters, right? And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. Oh, and don't forget, Sundays at 6 p.m. Ohio time, you can re-listen to this very show on Crowtown Radio. You can also follow This Week Again on social media wherever you can find us. And we are always available for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Tadur for now.